When I arrive at Blaine Ranch, there's an unobstructed view of Mount Hood and the sound of ripe wheat shifting in the breeze. Soon, I'm in a massive combine beside 34-year-old Andy Juris.
Yeah, when this big header gets started up, it gets a lot noisier in here.
Oh, okay.
The massive machine hunkers over the earth. It cuts blonde swaths across the field like a giant Hoover, making lines in a deep shag carpet.
There are two kinds of farm kids, those that, you know, can't get away fast enough and those that never can quite get over being a farmer, so I was one of the ones that wanted to come home.
One challenge he's had to deal with that his father and grandfather didn't is what to do with genetically modified organisms. Wheat varieties modified to resist the herbicide Roundup escaped and were found in Oregon in May. Prices dropped, overseas markets closed, and they're only now beginning to come back, just as the grain starts to roll in.
I think it's a rather isolated incident that we may never see again. I think that it was simply a matter of time until this dialogue about the issue came up. This incident has kind of forced the conversation to happen now.
Juris says, bottom line, anything grown in the field has to have a market. He's seen other experimental crops that go nowhere.
There's really nothing we can do with it. You can't sell it. There's really no market for it. And if you grew it, you'd just have it laying around. And there's just a lot of unknowns, and one thing farmers really hate is unknowns.
Still, Juris says two things he can't control, the rest of the world's wheat crop and the weather, probably have a bigger influence on prices than Japan and South Korea's shutdown. There's still a lot of uncertainty, so he's not sure yet whether to store most of his hard-earned grain on the farm and sell it later, or drive it into the elevator soon for a quick payout. Outside of Paterson, Washington, I'm Anna King.